Don't you wait in the car. There's things to be done, and we'll be on our way with the setting sun.
Welcome back, everyone, to the movie podcast number 77. We were away last week, but we'll be away next week as... Wait, what a second. Yeah, that's right. Anyways, I'm James Montemagno here in Seattle, beautiful Washington. Over in the Schenects of Schenectady, New York, is my good friend, and it's an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to be podcasting with this gentleman. I know you're thinking... It's probably like Josh Pollard or somebody else. No, it's actually Michael Rivette. How's that going, buddy?
Yo, how we doing?
That was a horrible opening. That was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's... Hey, what are you
Whatever.
We'll run the music over it longer.
Right, yeah. Exactly. No one listens anyways. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. So how are you, my good friend? We did miss last week. I want to say it was probably my fault because I was very busy, but I know you were very busy as well.
I was busy, but yeah, it was mostly your fault.
Yeah, mostly.
I'm going to go with your fault. it was ups and downs. I'm super busy all the time, no matter what, you know what I mean?
Exactly. That's what happens. This time of year, I'm busy. It's like a lot of our clients we deal with are the state, and they want to get shit out before the end of the year for tax and all that crap. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what it seems like anyway. And it's just a hectic time. So 'tis the season, as they say.
To be jolly,
yes.
I'm jolly.
I wanted to be more jolly, but I forgot to get my glass of wine before we started.
I just got new wines today at the market.
Oh, really? And what did you get, my friend?
How do you call it? Syrah? I called it a Syria when I went there, and the guy's like, a Syrah? I was like, oh, that makes way more sense.
And did he say it all snotty? Like, you idiot, how can
No,
you
he was this
this
cool guy that helped me. Oh, this one's from Oregon, a Syrah. Yeah. And then I got a Sauvignon Blanc. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, my favorite.
This one's from Washington. So we went a little northwest. He said that, you know, he's like, yeah, I know you've done a lot of New Zealand in your days.
Yeah, that's what
he
I
said.
Do.
These are the tops. They're only it's $18 and $20, so not bad for them.
Because
I mean, we usually do Villa Maria, which is our top notch, you know. Very good.
Uh-huh. I've moved on. I have a few new ones if you're interested for the Sauvignon Blancs. It's a Route 1. Is another one that's a new favorite. And then there's this other one called Cupcake Vineyards. Cupcake. That is delectable.
I used to do the cake one. There's a cake one that's really good.
I don't know. Cupcake. Like the one I just said. Thanks for...
No, email those to me. I'll have to find them. I mean, what was that one that we had that one time when I got all drunk?
I believe that was Kool-Aid. We had Kool-Aid, and you were younger. It was, you know, probably left out.
Drunk off your Kool-Aid.
Yeah, you got drunk off the Kool-Aid. No, was it really sweet?
Yeah, they had a goat on the front.
The Bully Hill. Bully Hill. Yep. That was the vineyard. That's a
New York
vineyard.
I can't get it.
I know. It's New York only. New Yorkers only can drink it. It's not meant for people outside of... That's why you got so drunk on it. It wasn't meant for your blood. Too strong. Too strong for you, my friend.
Yeah. So I didn't...
No wine for you.
So we don't have our glasses of wine, so that's disappointing.
I know. Well, we talked about it, so I guess that's cool. Maybe next time... I think each of us should have wine for each recording.
Yeah, let's do that.
From here on out. New policy. So, all right, well... Enough. Now I'm just even more thirsty. So I guess we could just move on to talk about
hot
the numbers.
Yeah. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about some disappointing debuts this week. Mind-blowing disappointing debuts. And we'll start off with the top five. You know, last week there was like nothing that came out. Really, I forget. Oh, New Year's came out, whatever, made barely any money. The Sitter.
Stupid.
What is it? What would you say it was? Stupid.
Stupid.
No, but say it.
Stupid. This is stupid.
So, three brand new openers, which came out this week. First one, Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. I'm trying to get through the first one. I watched half of it last night.
Have you seen that? What do you think about that? I have seen that. Yeah, I have. It was slow. Uh-huh. A little slow.
I felt...
But I liked it okay. I'm interested in seeing this one. Primarily because what's her name is in it from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. That is why I would like to see it. And
Noomi Rapace.
Noomi. Yeah, that's my main reason for
watching. I'm about halfway through, and it's a lot of story building. But you know what I like?
It's just sort of
slow. But you know what I like is when there's those sections where he's all like, I'm going to go do this, and then he's all like, yeah. Pa, 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 pa.
It reminds me of
Red Dead Redemption or something, where you go into like this slow motion, and you're like, it's like, ta-ta-ta-ta, you know? Like Max Payne, slow-mo, bullet time.
Yeah. But it's cool because I feel like that's a good way to illustrate how Sherlock Holmes mm-hmm. like thought. You know what I mean? He thought so fast. Mm-hmm. It seems slow. Yeah. I don't know. But it was
only
cool.
40 million. Not mind blowing. Okay. But not what it should have been.
I don't know if you have the numbers. I don't.
Okay.
That's why I'm asking. What the original opened
at. I can do
at.
That. What the original opened at. I can do that.
I'm curious to see if the original did well later on, or if it did like big numbers off the bat. Something tells me it did big numbers only because of... what's his face?
Robert Downey Jr., Jude Law.
Yes. I'm thinking that he pulled in people big.
If you would stop talking, I could tell you.
And I'm wondering.
It did 62 million its first week.
No, that's not that big of a... I mean, it's less, but it's not like that one did 100 or anything.
It grossed $210 million.
Yeah. So it this one did 40, so it's 20 less. Okay, but over the long run, it might be better. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. The next one, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked. This one pulled in $23.5 million. And I know you're probably wondering, what did this pull in its opening week?
No, I don't even care. Alvin and
the last one brought in $50 million. So,
whoa.
The first week. And the
wow. Very
which was up from the first one. The first one brought in 44, then 49, then 23. So kind of sad.
Oh, this is
the
third
chipper.
Oh,
and the commercials look funny. I know. I hate to say it.
None of the Alvin movies. It's like the Smurf movie. It's like all that. None of it does anything for me. I don't know why. Okay. So now you got Mission Impossible.
I don't
Impossible.
Understand this though. There's and only 425 theaters. Is it limited release?
It for Mission Impossible? Look. Yeah. Seems to be 425.
Doesn't make any why would they it comes out this week officially? I'm confused. See what happens when we miss a week?
I know. We get all behind.
Oh, it's expanding on Wednesday to a full release. So we're not gonna judge it. It brought in not bad for what it brought in, I guess. You know, 14 million or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Good for them. So fourth place, New Year's Eve. Nobody cares about that stupid movie. Clearly, it only made 24 total. Yeah. So yeah, good for them. And then the last one is The Sitter at number 5, because that's all we're going to talk about. Five. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to move on then to the movies for this/last week. The first one is Cowboys and Aliens, starring Daniel Craig as Jake. Olivia Wilde, Harrison Ford, Sam Rockwell, and that's pretty much all the big names, I think. But basically, this movie takes place in 1875. Yeah, 70, my phone was 73. Going crazy over here. 1873. Oh, sorry. And it is in the Wild West. I believe it's Mexico Arizona. Or New Mexico or Arizona or something like that. And what happens is the movie starts, and it's Daniel Craig sitting there. He has no idea what's going on. And we, along with him, are figuring out what happened to him. He has this futuristic alien apparatus strapped to his wrist. It seems to be a bracelet. Very, very fashionable. And he is a badass cowboy. He wanders into this town, and trouble kind of follows him around. Clearly, he's a wanted man, something he didn't know about. And then aliens pop up, and the shit really hits the fan. And now they're trying to figure out what these things are and why he has this thing strapped to his hand and how to get rid of them. And go.
That's the gist of the story.
Mm-hmm. It is. What did you think of this story?
Okay. I don't know. So I remember seeing the trailers for this, and I was so excited. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. Aliens, cowboys, duking it out. I didn't fall in love with, so you have Harrison Ford, who's like this oil Mongol, basically. Mongol? That's a good word.
Good enough.
That's the right word for that, right? Mongol? Mongol. Yeah. Not a Mongolian, a Mongol. Mogul. A mogul? A muggle.
He's a mogul and a mongrel and a muggle. To be honest, he's actually all of those.
He's all the M words.
Well played, my friend. Well played.
So it was all right. I really liked. I kind of liked Daniel Craig, and then I didn't like Daniel Craig, and then I liked Olivia Wilde, but then I actually loved Olivia Wilde. Except for she was kind of a. We don't want to spoil anything. I don't know what to say about it. It was okay. It's all right. It's one of those movies, I just don't know what to say about it. It's pretty. I wanted to know more about the aliens, like what they were doing with the stuff they were harvesting, and I felt like Olivia Wilde knew, but they didn't want to tell you. So like, what are you going to set it up for sequel? You know what I didn't like either, as I didn't like Harrison Ford's son. Annoying. Like some part it was too long. It was 2 hours long. It was too long. For like leaving me a little empty, because it wasn't a monster movie, okay. It wasn't an alien, it was an alien movie. But I much rather enjoy the storytelling of Super 8 than this movie, because these both left me lingering a little bit.
But that one was more fulfilling
to watch, and I enjoyed the story more. Okay. I thought it was a very pretty movie. I thought overall, and I didn't. There was some parts, I'm going to keep going. There was some parts, like, they hook up with, like, the local, like, Indian tribe, right? Native Americans, as some might say.
Yes, yep. Some may say that.
But, like, how they go about, like, fighting these aliens, like, they just kind of, like, go, like, charging in. Not the Native Americans, but, like, the cowboys. I'm like, you just can't get slaughtered. It's kind of stupid. I don't know. Like, you know what I'm talking about? They're going to go try to take them out. So, they're like, oh, we're just going to run in on horses. Like, these aliens are, like, dominating over you, right? And the thing with the little kid, like the son, I just don't know. Like when like the hands were coming out of like the alien, right?
Yeah.
What was going on with that? I don't know.
Do you think? I'm assuming it was going to hurt him.
Maybe. But at one point it was going to hurt him, but then at another point it seemed like it wasn't going to.
Yeah, I thought that the first time. I thought that definitely in the first time
they interact.
Interaction, not so much in the later ones, because clearly those things were.
Well, they're
But in the first one, he seemed like he was just like, "Hi, we're gonna be friends." And I thought the movie was gonna take a totally different, like thing than what I thought it was gonna be, and I would have actually kind of liked that, but it did.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's a horrible. Horrible intro, horrible first movie roundup, whatever. What'd you think, though? Recoup.
All right, for me, this movie was okay. I'm very much like you, was excited to see this. It seemed cheesy, it seemed weird, but it was interesting, and I don't know, I was excited for it. This movie took itself a little serious, even though it was dealing with cheesy stuff. Do you know what I mean? There was moments where it was plain that it is like, oh my God, this is really getting out of hand here. And it still tried to pull it off like, no, this is happening. This is real. Instead of kind of had fun with it like the viewer was supposed to be having. I don't think that worked out too well for it. I also think that there was a couple moments where the Native Americans helped Daniel Craig get his memory back. And that to me was extremely weird. It just seemed weird. It seemed out of place. It seemed that the whole movie early on, despite the fact it was aliens and cowboys or cowboys and aliens, it still had some sort of sense of reality. And then with the Native American like thing, it got weird. And then with some of the other Olivia Wilde stuff, it really started to ask you to kind of let things go. And I didn't like that. I really didn't like the Olivia Wilde stuff. I didn't like the end with Olivia Wilde. It didn't make sense to me because I feel like I don't feel like that would have happened or that there was an alternative to it. I also felt like Daniel Craig's character, Jake, really kind of got the short end of the stick in this movie. He really got fucked over a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody around him ended up happy except for him. I didn't hate it. I thought it had cheesy moments. I thought it had some fun moments. Daniel Craig, I gotta get in touch with his workout guy because fucking dude is ripped, crazy. And yeah, that's the takeaway from this. Daniel Craig is ripped.
He is ripped, yeah.
So, all right.
Moving along. We're going to need a lot of help to get through this one. Get it? Get it?
Get it there? I got it.
Yep. It's a book. So, this movie's called The Help. I'm sure people have heard of this movie. We talked about it a lot when it first came out to the theaters, and then the book craze, like this is a craze, I would say, of books that people, I just saw everyone, when this movie came out, I saw everyone reading this book. Not me, I don't read, I'm against that. I do have a public library card, but I'm against all forms of reading.
Yeah, you burn books, actually, that's what illegal. You do.
I don't know if it's illegal, I hate kittens, I burn books. So anyways, this movie is set in Mississippi in the 1960s. I lived in Mississippi for a year, so interesting. Side note.
Don't
ever go there.
Delving into little history there.
Little history. So this is still when everything was still very segregated, blacks and whites, which I can't even imagine. Like, you know, that's only 50 years ago. I can't even imagine that was, 50 years ago, that still was going on. That was going on. Yeah. That's unimaginable right now to me. And it follows around this girl who's Emma Stone's character. Her name's Skeeter. Every time someone said that, I just thought it was funny because that's just a funny name.
It is a funny name.
It is. And what it is, you know, basically in every household in like Mississippi at the time, they have like these black ladies that help them, and they're called the help. You know, they're kind of like maids, basically. They cook, they clean, they do whatever. They take care of the kids, and it's really revolving around the kid aspect. Because what's really happening is this has been going on for a long time, obviously. So there's a set of adults, and they have kids, and the help, you know, the ladies, the black ladies, they basically raise these children. They kind of, you know, kind of come their own. They have their own children, but they kind of like take them on. It's like they are their children, right? Because they're spending every day with them, taking care of them. They grow up, and then those children have children. The help kind of gets passed, you know, moves along with them, you know. and it's kind of a family thing. So these black ladies, like, their daughters start and they'll work for them and things like that, right? It's very segregated. It's very odd. And it follows around both Skeeter's, Emma Stone's character, and Abilene, which is Viola Davis's character. Am I correct? No. No. Who's the other girl? No, Bryce. Yeah, Bryce Howard, sorry. Who's Hilly Holbrook, who's like her best friend. And Emma Stone is very, she's not like racist at all. She's not against it. She doesn't really necessarily like the segregation. She's not like, you know, not for it. But Hilly is very super crazy. Like, they should have their own bathrooms and they're gross. And it's very, very odd. So anyways, Emma Stone, she's an aspiring writer. You can tell Michael's getting bored because he's click-clackety on his keyboard. And she's an aspiring writer and she wants to work for this newspaper and she wants to write a book. She gets this whole idea, what if she writes a book from the perspective of the help of these black ladies? And it's a struggle to get all these black ladies on board because this is very frowned upon. There's actually laws against this in the state of Mississippi about like really doing something like this with the whites and blacks together. It's almost like they would think it's almost propaganda. So it's this whole struggle for Emma Stone's characters to overcome her friends and what her friends are thinking and what they're doing and get all of these ladies on her side because they're all scared, you know, because people are getting killed. You know, it's, you know, MLK, it's kind of like the MLK period, you know what I mean? So, and this is a Disney picture. So, and what'd you think of this one?
This is a Disney picture?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yep. Pretty sure.
DreamWorks, yeah, so that's kind of surprising. So this movie, the first thing I wrote when it was going on, I was, I hate this.
Or is it DreamWorks? And is it DreamWorks? It might be DreamWorks.
DreamWorks.
Sorry.
When I first, I was just like, I hate this movie right off the bat. And it had nothing to do with the fact that I thought it was a bad movie. It had to do with the fact that that kind of subject matter makes me so angry when I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It really drives me insane. And just the way, because you know there were people that thought this way and felt, you know, and did these things, mm-hmm. and said these things, and it just, I couldn't help it. But as the movie went on, I really, really started to enjoy it. I didn't think I was going to. I was very surprised that I started to enjoy it, to be honest with you. There was very few characters in this movie that I liked. Skeeter was okay. I didn't really care for her character as much. The woman that I really, really enjoyed every time she came on was the blonde that was kind of forced, like, was kept out of all of the
little
get-togethers. Mm-hmm. I don't know her name, because originally I thought they were calling her Missy, and I guess that's not her name, so I'm not sure of the character, but there's I really, really enjoyed her in the movie. Everything she did, there was a lot of moments where Celia, yes, thank you. She'd come on, and it was very
loved her.
She seemed very genuine. She was very sweet, mm-hmm. in the movie, and I really enjoyed her in it. There was the part where Minnie was talking about how Celia was trying to sort of be a good housewife for her husband. She needed help, but it wasn't help in the sense of, I'm hiring you because you're black. It was just, that's what you're a cook and you do this. And I need help. Yeah, she just needed help. It didn't matter who it was. And she didn't treat her like a less of a human because she just would sit with her and eat and all these things that were not accepted for the time. And she just wanted help. And it was very sweet. And it was actually funny because there was a point where, you know, Minnie was making chicken and making dinner and she said, well, isn't your husband gonna know? And she's like, oh yeah, maybe we should burn some. And then he gets all serious and looks at her and is like, Minnie don't burn chicken. And I laughed a lot about that. I thought it was a really funny little moment in it. All in all, I really, really enjoyed it. I loved the mother, not Skeeter's mother, the Wicked Witch's mother. Her name is I don't know, but there was an older mother in it that's kind of losing her mind, I guess. Oh, yeah, she has to get put in a home. And she was very funny. There's a point in the movie that is sort of Minnie takes revenge on, I think the character's name is Hilly, takes revenge on her. And the way she does it is pretty amusing, but the mother's reaction to the way to what she does to her daughter is very amusing. So I liked it. How about you?
Oh yeah, I kind of feel very similar to you as well. Like, I definitely like the whole subject matter, kind of, you know, it gets to you.
It just pisses you off.
Yeah, that people could be like this, you know. I mean, I'm against like all types of stereotypes, whether it be any culture, you know what I mean? That's the thing that I think always upsets me is you have, you know, just stereotypical people, but it's weird to think that you, like, this stuff happened. Just, I mean, just, I couldn't even imagine living in that day and age where, like, that was how it was, like, in my mind frame, you know. I'm just,
yeah,
it blows my mind. I mean, Emma Stone's character is interesting. She kind of annoyed me at parts. I always felt like she was doing weird stuff with, like, her mouth.
I feel like she always is doing weird stuff with her mouth. And every character, like, that's her mouth.
I want her to do weird things.
Wow. But I think that's just Emma Stone. Yeah. That's just her character, her person.
What was interesting is, like, the guy she started dating, like, that evolution. And then, like, how it changed, like, abruptly. That was crazy. Very interesting. All the help, all the black ladies were, like, Minnie was hilarious. Abilene, you know, who's Viola Davis, she's just great. It was overall just a great movie. I mean, I really didn't like the stuff with Emma Stone, you know, with Skeeter's mom. Like, I know that she changes kind of over time, but it was just kind of, she kind of annoyed me. People just kind of annoy me. So, like, her mom kind of annoyed me. Obviously, Hilly really annoyed me. Even, like, whoever, her one friend that was, like, unsure. You know, she had a few friends, and, like, her one friend was very unsure, but then wanted to fit in and kind of wanted to be, like, with Hilly, but, you know, was kind of unsure. Yeah, Celia's character was awesome. So there was ups and downs, but the whole thing kept me really into it, and I really enjoyed the overall thing of it. It was long, though. It was, like, almost 2.5 hours.
It did feel long.
Yeah, a little long.
So,
but it was good. I liked it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
Moving right along. Oh, this is me.
It is you.
We better move along before... I got nothing.
No, nothing.
Before we all get Alzheimer's. I don't know. Anyways, this is Rise of the Planet of the Apes. If you are a fan...
How were you trying to even... Oh, I see. All right. I see what you were trying to do.
Did you? I don't even know what I was trying
to do. Yeah, with the Alzheimer's. Yeah.
Because you
don't even know what you were trying to do.
Yeah.
Just talk about the movie.
Anyways, before we get all Franco'd out. oh, gosh. Anyways, this movie is interesting. So if you're a fan of the Planet of the Apes movies at all, this is a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
This is a direct prequel, hence Rise of the Planet of the Apes. If you remember watching the first movie at all, they're kind of in a spaceship and it gets all crazy and they crash land and there's apes everywhere and they get in prison, right? And I think at the end of that movie, you find out that it's Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I watched all of it because it was old. I just don't like I love Star Wars, like, because it's so well done, right? But, like, I watched...
Well, they've got the remake you could have seen.
No, with
the one that Tim Burton directed.
Oh yeah,
it's got Marky Mark.
Everyone says it's really bad.
I don't know. I never saw the original, so to me it was okay.
Because I was listening to Scene in HD, and Matt Parpaki was talking about this movie on this week's episode or last week's, I think. And he was like, everyone tries to forget about that one. I think I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna @DoBlue him on Twitter and be like, hey, Marky Mark says,
yeah,
something. I don't know. Marky Mark action. Anyways, this movie revolves around James Franco's characters. This is, like, modern-day United States. He plays Will Rodman. His dad, Charles, played by John Lithgow. Love John Lithgow.
I can't see him as anybody other than...
Trinity.
Yep.
Yeah. And then those are, like, the main two characters. To be honest, it really all really focuses around James Franco's character. He's a scientist. Who's coming up with a drug that he's had, experimental drug he's had for 3 years to try to cure Alzheimer's. His father has Alzheimer's, so he's really trying to cure it. That's really his. He's very close to him at heart. It very focuses around that. It's very close to him. And they're basically using chimpanzees as an experiment to genetically, because they're the most similar to humans. So they tested on the chimpanzees first, and then they can do human trials. But what they ended up finding out is kind of that this drug that they're using is kind of leading to a greater intelligence overall. He kind of finds this out because what they start doing these trials, and it's really curing the disease. They want to do human trials. Some stuff goes bad. What ends up happening is there's a little baby chimpanzee, and he ends up taking it home, and it learns and it evolves over like 5-6 years or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was a span of 5 or 6 mm-hmm. years.
So he starts, you know, becoming real good friends with him, and things kind of go amok. And then this ape's super crazy smart. They have to put him in like an chimpanzee like preserve, basically. And shit just goes crazy from there, because then, like, you know, they're no longer friends, but this dude's super smart and he wants to liberate the apes, the chimpanzees.
Yes.
I don't want to give too much away, but at the same time, like...
I mean, I don't think there's too much that you can give away, really. It seems pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, anyways, go ahead on this one.
Okay, so for me, I
got lots to,
I really
got lots
want
to say.
Watch...
I got lots to say.
Oh, okay. I want to watch the original, because I've only seen the Marky Mark version. Mm-hmm. That was my intro to Planet of the Apes, gotcha. This whole world. I think there's quite a few of them actually now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting idea. It's, you know, as a whole, like the canon of this movie is interesting. But this one in particular, I had a few issues with. For me, the special effects didn't hold up. And that's all I heard was how great they were. Mm-hmm. And I didn't love them. It just, I don't know. Something about it wasn't, something about Caesar, who's the chimp. And Caesar is played by Andy Serkis, who does Gollum and all the Lord of the Rings movies. But it just didn't, it was like, whatever. I don't know. The movie to me seemed, it was a lot about smart apes, but very stupid humans. Mm-hmm. I felt like, especially towards the end when the uprising started to happen, that things could have been fixed all, you know, pretty easily, but the people that were involved, the humans, were not very intelligent. And had they been, I felt like the problem could have been solved. So to me, the basis of it, the idea that these super intelligent chimpanzees are going to take over, they didn't have the numbers. I just don't think it would have ever happened. So it just was weird to me. As a story, it was kind of cool. I like the base that the whole idea happened because of trying to find a cure for Alzheimer's. That to me is... It seemed when they started going down that road, I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. I like what they're doing here. It wasn't, you know, let's make a smart chimp to go in outer space. It wasn't like, why would you even do this? It seemed like it was in a legitimate place, and the way that this happened seemed like it would have been something that could have happened, actually. But all in all, it was just Rise of the Planet of the Apes. So the story was okay.
Yeah, I thought overall that it was interesting, the story that they presented. But I do agree, the issues I really had were with mostly the people in this movie. I think that's what your biggest issue seems to be as well, which if I look at, you know, you have this kid, Tom Felton, who's, you know, plays Dodge Landon in this movie or whatever. He's kind of taking care of the chimps or whatever. He's like this, you know, college kid, and he's like, you know, rattling on the things, and he's all like, oh, the house of whatever, blah, you know, it's a madhouse, and he's just like torturing, like he has no reason to be doing anything, right?
Yeah, exactly. Why would you be such a dick?
Yeah, and like, why is this chimpanzee preserve, like, why is it so evil, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, how could this be where there's so many, like, you know, maybe it is like that, but like, It just seems weird that there's this huge, ginormous chimpanzee preservation in the middle of, like, New York or whatever. And it's
like, did they have a huge chimp problem? Or, exactly. Like, why is this even there?
Like, why aren't these in zoos or something like that, right? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yep. It didn't make any sense to me. And, like, I kind of liked his boss in a way, because that was, like, a pretty spot-on role. Like, I could tell him, I could say, like, that was pretty spot-on. There was, like, the side effects of, I liked the interaction with John Lithgow and James Franco's characters, the father-son relationship between Will and Charles. Fantastic. I thought, like, the drug use and, like, him kind of experimenting on him, but still, like, I thought that John or Charles was interesting because he was in and out of Alzheimer's all the way. But then his next-door neighbor, what a dick, right?
Oh, I know.
Hated him. Just, there's people that you're like, I just hate you. Why do you
exist? And there's so much beyond, like, okay, that's your next door neighbor. You know that John Lithgow's character, Lithgow, has Alzheimer's. Why would you treat him like that? If he's in your car and shit was going on, you know, okay, I know why he's in my car. I'm pissed off about the car, but I'm not going to beat the guy up.
Yeah.
Like, you know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, and then another problem is like, the chimpanzees are pretty smart, and like they basically kind of go to town, but they don't actually necessarily want to. It was interesting. They don't want to necessarily hurt the humans, but they do want to fuck up their days. Like, people are working, and like, they're just like rolling through shit. They're making all this noise when they could have just like crept out, right?
Yeah.
They could have just crept out, but then they go.
Yeah, they could have just gone to the. Because at the end, they just go to the
forest.
The forest there. Why didn't you just go there?
Yeah, I don't.
Like,
and like,
you didn't need to battle.
Yeah, like, we got to battle. You know, and I think the humans in that issue did the right thing. Like, just fucking kill them all. Like, they're going to, you know. Like, oh, yeah. I mean,
shit's crazy.
They're going to, you know, take shit out. But it was interesting because then, like, I don't know, you know. It was weird, and like, I definitely didn't really like the human beings in most of the movies. In most of the movies, because it kind of felt a lot like apes are, you know, chimpanzees are smart, you know, humans are stupid.
That's my biggest problem. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so much that they were super smart as a lot of the humans in it were just not very smart.
Yeah. And I can see how they can evolve, because now they'll mass produce, and maybe like the humans aren't going to think anything of it, right? Yeah. They're on this huge island by themselves, and like, you know, but at the same time, we got guns and shit. Like, we should be able to knock them out.
Yeah, they should have been done.
Yeah, they should have destroyed them. I couldn't imagine a situation where, like, we didn't, like, just annihilate them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, they would have never, it would have never gone to what it, like, where it went.
So, in that aspect, I thought it was a little bit unbelievable in a way. I mean, obviously, it's a little unbelievable, but I mean, overall, it didn't sit right with me.
Well, and now the issue is, okay, because this movie, I don't, like I said, I don't know all the other movies, so I don't, maybe there's movies that fill in between this movie and Planet of the Apes.
No, nay.
That's a huge jump that happens. It goes. Between a planet that is run by these apes, who in the end of this movie, there's like, I don't know, and that's another thing too, as they were breaking out, the numbers, like, originally it was, like, maybe, what, 30? I don't know how, all of a sudden, when they're, like, storming over the mountaintop, there's, like, 400 of these fucking apes. Yeah. It's like, where did they come from? Only 30 of them had the special serum that made them smart. All the other ones would have been just picking their ass the whole time. Why all of a sudden did they get rallied into a mob?
That's true.
There's no way they would have even known what was going on. They were normal chimpanzees.
I didn't think of that because, you know, there's definitely like maybe like 50 or 60 of them in the preserve, you know?
Yeah, that are actually of heightened intelligence.
Yeah, because they all get heightened intelligence and they're all super smart. But then what happens is like they go and they take over zoos and like let out all the chimpanzees.
Let
and
out nuggets, other ones.
But they're not smart.
No, they would have literally been throwing shit around. Like, they wouldn't have known what, you know what I mean? Like, they let them out, and then those chimps are like, fuck yeah, let's do this, and actually take, like, spears and go attacking.
That's true.
And it's just like, no, they're not smart.
I missed that. That's funny.
That was my biggest issue. It was like, okay, I can understand you've got 50 or 60 or however many. There was a bunch, but there's not 400 that they ended up having towards the end. Yeah.
It felt like there were way too many when they did top-down views even before they took them out. Like, they were going to go take over the city, and they did, like, a top-down view, and there's, like, hundreds of apes, like, sprawling out.
Yeah, and there's no way that would have been the case. Yeah. So, that was one of my biggest issues. And like I said, between the end of this movie and the start of Planet of the Apes, how does that happen? Like, how did it just go that crazy? Like, shit got that crazy?
I don't know.
You know? I mean, I don't know. It was crazy to me. But, so, there's Rise of Planet of the Apes. Now, though, I'm going to go and I'm going to watch Planet of the Apes because I want to see. And it felt like, and maybe somebody can tweet us or write us or something, that in this movie, the chimpanzee is Caesar. Now, is that important? Because I don't think there's a Caesar in the other movies, but I could be wrong. I don't know. Because it seems like a lot of time would have gone by. But I'm just curious if there was a connection in the names, if there was like something, was there a statue from the first one or whatever? You know, was there any sort of dedication to Caesar in the later movies that's why they pulled it back? Because I'm assuming in these later movies, that circle with like the triangle in it or diamond in it, you know, you see where that comes from. And I'm wondering if that's used in those later movies as like the symbol for the apes.
Yeah.
Because it shows you, it makes such a point of showing it on a couple different things. It shows where it comes from. Then it shows Caesar drawing it in the cell. And then it shows it on a stop sign as graffiti that they must have left there when they were rolling through town. So I'm wondering if that is a thing from the later movies. So if anybody knows, tweet us and let us know.
To me, there was a lot of just like gaps. Like, it just felt gappy.
Yeah. But I mean, people seemed to, it was really well received by the Planet of the Apes community, fan club. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we just have to see the others to really appreciate it. I don't know.
Do you want to roll through this one real quick?
Kung Fu Panda 2.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to admit I never saw Kung Fu Panda. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to see Kung Fu Panda 2. So I did watch it. This one is the story of, I guess it picks up right where the other one sort of leaves off. Po, who is the panda, the Kung Fu Panda, is basically a dragon warrior. He is, I don't know, the chosen one, practicing Kung Fu with the Furious Five, who is like Angelina Jolie and a bunch of the other names in this movie. I don't know, Seth Rogen. There's Dustin Hoffman, Jackie. There's a lot of big voice actors in it. So what happens is there is a villain from Panda or Po's past that comes back to life comes back to light, I guess. He's back from somewhere. And he is trying to take over China, conquer China, destroy Kung Fu with this weapon that is supposedly unstoppable. There's nothing you can do about it. Just give up. Go home. So Panda has to, or Po, I don't know what I keep wanting to call him Panda.
He's a panda.
Yeah, he is a panda. So Po has to go back and find his origin story, basically, of what made him the way he is so that he can find inner peace and destroy this formidable weapon. What did you think of Kung Fu Panda 2?
Po the Panda.
Oh, and I should say, Po is Jack Black. So, Jack Black.
You got Jack Black, Angelina Jolie, Dustin Hoffman, Gary Oldman, Jackie Chan, Seth Rogen, Lucy Liu, David Cross, Danny McBride, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. Tons of names.
This movie was boring. Oh, God.
Was it boring?
Oh, God.
I was, like, sleeping. I was like, oh, God, I don't want to see this anymore.
This movie was horrible. This movie was not good. Like, nothing enthralled. Like, there was some cool art stuff. Like, you know,
there was some beautiful art
there
stuff.
There was. I was like, you could tell the artists had a good time with some of this art stuff that they did.
Oh, and the fire, the way they did the fire effects. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And then there was these little scenes in between.
Yeah.
Like when they're giving the story, gorgeous. Yeah.
The only part I liked was maybe his dad or whatever, who played the duck or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Penny was James Hong. He was like, hey, he's kind of funny. He's like, you want noodles? It's all about noodles. Yeah. But besides that, whatever. Done. Control-Alt-Delete. Done. Horrible.
Yeah, I agree. Not good. This movie, I had no desire to see this. I had no desire to see the first one. That's why I didn't see it. I had no desire to see this one. Jack Black does not interest me. He's not... That he, for whatever reason, is just not doing it for me. This movie just kind of, there was maybe a few cutesy little moments in it, but all in all, this seemed like every other. I'm really kind of getting over this type of movie. I've moved past. I don't want, like, when Toy Story, because I consider Toy Story like the first that was like this, the computer animated, you know, film. It was so different. It was very good. Don't get me wrong, but the fact that the way they were doing things, it was part of that experience. It was like, oh, this is really funny. And the fact that he made that face, that's even funnier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, and then when you're watching this, it's like, okay, I'm seeing the same exact tricks that you use from fucking when Toy Story first came out, and it's not doing it anymore. I don't care. It's not interesting. It's the same sort of witty, childlike humor that has been getting all these movies by, but it just doesn't, and I felt the same way with Cars when that one came out, Cars 2. Mm-hmm. It was just like, no, these are not good anymore. There was nothing aside from the effects that I thought was... One of the things that really pissed me off, though, about this was when Poe, occasionally he would do something cool. You know what I mean? Occasionally he would be like, all right, I'm pissed, or I'm this, or I've just finally mastered inner peace and I'm going to do something like this. And then right after he does something cool, they make a fool out of him by making him, you know, there was a funny part where, like, he finds his origin. He knows the story. He's going to kick some ass, and he's standing on top of this roof, and he goes to, like, throw this hat to save his like, team, and it's like a wicker hat, and you're thinking, like, okay, it's gonna, you know, because he's such an awesome ninja, he's gonna manage to throw it, it's gonna cut, but he throws it and it only goes like 10 feet and then just kind of like fizzles to the ground. And it was kind of funny in the moment, but at the same time and time and time again in this movie, it does that, and you have a very hard time, like, feeling like Panda is anything other than just like a joke.
Yeah.
I never felt like, I know this is a kid movie and probably giving it more thought than it needs to, but I never felt like Poe was anything other than just a joke. I never felt like he was he's called a dragon warrior. He should have some sort of kick ass. Like, everything just felt like it was a mistake when he was going along and doing it. I don't know. It was just, it's not my type of movie.
Agreed.
So there's that. All right. So I think we can move on.
Yep, let's go ahead and move on to Buy, Rent, Skip.
Okay. For me...
Cowboys, Aliens.
Well, I'm going to say it's a rent.
I'm skipping it.
Oh, hey.
The Help.
Crazy.
The Help.
The Help is definitely a rent.
Yeah, rent. I wouldn't watch it a lot of times again, but it's a solid movie.
Definitely.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I'll give it a rent.
Skipping it.
Oh, man, you are being tough today. Mm-hmm. I like it.
See, I just, we watched 185 billion movies this year, and you don't need to see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kung Fu Panda 2.
So skipping
buying
it.
Just you know, probably for your kids, you can rent it from the Redbox for a dollar. I'm sure they'll love it.
Kids will love it.
Jack Black, show funny. But yeah, skip it for anyone else, you know. And I agree with you, you know, you have, if you're an animated movie nowadays, you really have to wow me. You have to wow me like you wow me with WALL-E. You have to wow me, you know.
Which is surprising, because a lot of people really don't like WALL-E, and I really enjoy it, but...
It's so good.
I haven't seen it again in a while, but I still feel like it would hold its own.
Yeah. And then, you know, like, Toy Story stuff, so good, but, you know, Pixar is not perfect, you know. Cars 2, for instance, not perfect. They're coming out with this new movie called, well, we tweeted about it. The trailer looks absolutely horrible. The one with, like, the, I don't know, it looks like How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
You know, you tweeted the trailer out, I think, or I did. I don't know. It looked horrible. like they're not perfect. You know, DreamWorks Shrek 1, amazing, loved it. All the other Shreks.
Did you see the trailer yet for Jack the Giant Killer?
No.
It's a I believe live action version of Jack and the Beanstalk.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It looks surprisingly good. I'll link a link for you, so you'll be able to see it. Okay. It's very good.
Yeah.
But all in all, yes, I completely agree. They need to step it up if they're gonna these kind of movies now.
Yeah, hook it up. You know, I mean, it's got to be. And sometimes stuff doesn't need sequels. Like, take a look at a movie like The Nightmare Before Christmas, because we're about to get into like our holiday picks.
Mm-hmm.
And this was our number one must-own Blu-ray pick. It didn't come out this year on Blu-ray. It didn't come out in the theaters this year. This is an age-old, timeless classic movie. And, you know, by releasing 8,000 Shreks, you've ruined Shrek for me. I don't want to watch Shrek anymore because it's stupid.
No, I don't. The original was awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now it's just like, fuck, enough with the Shrek. Yeah. Like, go on to something else. You can't come up with something new. Yeah.
So, like, Nightmare Before Christmas, by far, our hands down. It's my reference disc. When I show someone, you want to see my HD television and my Blu-ray, check out Nightmare Before Christmas. So beautiful. Such a great movie. You know, it's out of the rise that it had with the emo kids, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. They tried to ruin it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a great story, great storytelling. I mean, Tim Burton, so good.
I mean, no matter what, a Tim Burton film is going to have that sort of dark, emo-y type thing, but it's just such an awesome, it's awesome because of the dark part of it, but it's just awesome in general. Like, that is, you could tell there's so much time and effort to make that movie.
Yeah,
it's so good.
I love the animation style. No one else has been able to. Oh, you know what, there's a movie coming out from Aardman, the guys that do Wallace and Gromit. It's called the something Pirates. It's all claymation.
It looks
so good and funny. I gotta find the trailer. I saw it when I saw the Muppets.
I saw the trailer for Adventures of Tintin.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
I heard it looks amazing.
It looks crazy. Yeah. Like, I was watching, I wasn't even, you know what I mean? It was like, it came on and I was doing something and I could not help but sit there and like stare at it because I was just amazed by what I was seeing. Mm-hmm. Really, really interesting stuff. So we'll have to keep our eye on that one, too.
Because you know the stuff about Aardman, right? Because you know I'm a huge Wallace and Gromit fan. They did Chicken Run. They did a lot of those claymation movies. That's what they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing with Aardman is their studio burnt down.
Oh, no.
They lost, like, almost all of their stuff.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming insurance and stuff, they're rebuilding or whatever.
Yeah,
but...
mm-hmm. So, yeah, the new one's called The Pirates. It's called The Pirates, yeah, exclamation point.
Nice.
So I'll have to find a trailer for you, but so good. I love claymation.
Cool.
So back to our holiday Blu-ray buying guide. We had a few new movies that came out this year on Blu-ray, because obviously one of our top picks was obviously Tron Legacy. Mm-hmm. This is a great bundle. It comes with 3D, 2D, DVD, blue, digital copy, and even the original Tron on Blu-ray. Or you could just get the 2-disc of Tron Legacy. I thought this was just a beautiful movie. And I saw it in theaters last Christmas. You know, it came out last year, but it was early release this year on Blu-ray. You know, you saw Tron Legacy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's my top. And then, my top pick was that mine was basically Tron Legacy. And then I had some honorable mentions, but you had two top. I featured two of your tops because I kind of agreed with you, but I didn't mention them. So do you want to go over the two that you recommended?
I don't have it in front of me right now.
Okay. It's called moviepodcast.net. It's a little website that
we have a website?
We do. It's a moviepodcast.net or.
I've only heard of moviepodcast.ko or co. What was it?
co.uk.
Yeah, exactly.
We also own themoviepodcast.net and themoviepodcast.us. Now take that, themoviepodcast.co.uk.
Yeah, suck it.
I think they stopped. They did one, and that was it.
Yeah, they did one and moved on. Yeah. Probably what we should have. But... So my Blu-ray releases for me were. I had two. I couldn't really decide. I mentioned Tron with you because I agree it's, you know, it's beautiful. But I also really, really enjoyed Crazy Stupid Love from this year and Adjustment Bureau. Something about, like, I think especially Adjustment, anybody that's seen Crazy Stupid Love has agreed with me that they've really, really enjoyed it.
Good.
I think Adjustment Bureau could be something where they're like, meh. But for me, it was really, really enjoyable. I kept thinking about, I remembered back for like a day, 2 days, 3 days, I kept thinking, wow, I really enjoyed that movie. And I don't know for what, you know, you and I have discussed how sometimes things just hit a certain way. And it just, it that's how this movie was. There was another one that I really, I didn't write down, but I'm going to mention it anyway. It was, had Matt Damon, and the name of it was,
Matt Damon, Contagion?
No, it had, the reason I thought about it was because one of the girls from The Help was also in it. It was, shit, let me look it up real quick. It was the one where he could see ghosts, and you remember that one, right? Did you see
The Informant? Invicta? Greens? No. Hold on. Well, True Grit? No.
No.
The Adjustment Bureau?
No. Hereafter.
Did I see that movie?
I think so. Maybe not. But basically what Hereafter
follows
three different, like, yeah, three different groups and how they kind of come together, blah, blah, blah. The movie I didn't enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Matt Damon's character in it. And that was another one, like, it just, for whatever reason, it really connected. And so those are my picks. I mean, I really, really enjoyed Crazy Stupid Love. It was awesome. And Adjustment Bureau. Loved it.
Gotcha. We had some runners up. I'll just run, or honorable mentions. I'll just run through them. Mm-hmm. Sucker Punch was one of my top picks. Love that movie. Beautiful Blu-ray. I did mention that the story is not amazeballs, but just amazing movie, amazing soundtrack. For the CG work, if you're an anime fan, Summer Wars. I don't like anime, but I like this movie a lot because it was beautiful to look at. And then I had to put on there, which I still think you have not seen, but Hobo with a Shotgun.
No, I have not seen it.
And then you had two as well that you thought were pretty good pickups.
Yeah. Well, again, this is another one that I think you and I, we didn't enjoy really at all. I think we only watched maybe 15, 20 minutes of it, mm-hmm. but it was The Tree of Life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for the visuals alone, it's worth seeing if you can get through it. The story to me, I didn't enjoy it. You didn't enjoy it, but a lot of people had said how beautiful it was and how much they really loved it and blah, 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 blah. So Tree of Life.
Blah, 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 blah.
And then my other one was 127 Hours. I just felt like aside from it being a great story, it is a beautiful movie. Some of the oranges and it, you know, it's just, I think it would really pop. It's beautiful on the screen. And that was my other option.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
I had a bunch of
them. Yep. We did. Yeah. We had two collections. Mine, for the must own movie collection, mine was obviously Star Wars, The Complete Saga. So good. So beautiful. Must buy.
Yeah. And then mine was Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
So.
Harry Potter.
So I basically just said they're all out. Get them. Now's the time.
Yeah, and I think I'm pretty sure we both know they're going to come out with like a better collection next year or whatever. I'm sure they'll come out with like Uber Deluxe Harry Potter Edition, you know? But whatever.
This
is all of them. I mean, it's a good collection to pick up. I think if you just want to watch just the movies, you know?
Yeah.
So good.
And then television?
Yeah. I mean, I think we agreed on every single one of these.
Oh,
Dexter,
yeah.
Firefly, Castle, Modern Family, just buy them, whatever.
Yeah, they're awesome.
They're all good.
All of them, awesome. Oh. Speaking of Dexter, tonight is the finale.
That's
I don't
so
know. If,
good.
Yeah, tonight. It's happening. Actually, I think it's halfway into it here where I am.
It is. It started already. I saw the Facebook of the Dexter.
Yeah, I was just looking at that.
Yeah, so good. I was like, I want to watch it, but it's not illegally downloadable yet.
It's not legally downloadable yet. I mean,
yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, one day I'll get there.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I don't know. How'd you feel about the last episode? I was indecisive.
I don't know yet. I mean, I have a tough time thinking about how they're going to wrap this up so that I feel closure. I think that it's going to really get me wanting next season already.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. but it's Dexter, so. Shall we pick our movies for next week, seeing how we're almost at an hour?
We're almost at an hour. Yeah, we can do that. Oh, did we talk about the poll? We got the poll here.
We didn't talk about
it. Anyway, Sherlock Holmes, number one movie, if you want to see it.
Yeah.
I can't believe
it. By pretty sizable margin.
Yeah, two more people voted, and they both voted for that. And only one person voted for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I can't believe that.
Well, you know, I didn't vote for that one. I didn't because I really enjoyed the first one so much. The original.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. And he was on the Today Show, I think. Daniel Craig, and he was talking about it. He just didn't seem too overly enthralled about it. I don't know. It seemed very odd. But
really?
Yeah, I guess he put on weight. He got a little out of shape. But then, I mean, it's Daniel Craig. I don't know. He's all James Bond. You know, he's
always like that, though. And that's one of my apprehensions for this movie is because I'm afraid.
He's just going to be like, whatever.
Like anything I've seen him in, he's been sort of like that standoffish, I'm just so tough.
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, he really isn't that character.
Not supposed to be.
Not supposed to be. And I'm wondering, how is it going to work? So I will see it. I'm hoping to go see Sherlock Holmes actually this week as well. I'm excited. I don't love the girl with the dragon tattoo. Maybe in the movie, I will she'll kind of like grow on me a little bit. But I just enjoyed the original movie so well. I enjoyed seeing what's her name in that role. I just really wanted. I'd like to see. I don't know. I almost feel like I would just rather watch those over again. But
we'll see. I felt as though like when I heard him talking, I felt as though he has not seen the original movies.
Really?
I felt that he read the book, but like I don't. It doesn't seem like he.
Well, I mean, not that I don't agree or disagree with that. Only because if he knew he was going to make this, say by, you know, he never saw him, because I probably wouldn't have watched him either had we not been doing the podcast and stuff. So they just wouldn't have been on my radar. But what I'm thinking is,
you want to be,
you know,
tainted.
This probably, yeah, if he was making this movie a few years ago or however long the, you know, it came to be, why go back and watch it? And then he's not trying to copy that performance. You know what I mean? He wants to do his version of that performance. So maybe he read the books.
Maybe, yeah.
Hopefully he at least read the books.
At minimum.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm indecisive. I want to see it. Anyways.
Yeah.
Shits. Anyways. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I also saw The Muppets in the theater. So good. Amazing. So,
nice.
So good. Highly recommend it. We won't talk about it, but they have a Toy Story short at the beginning. I love when movies do that. The Muppets, absolutely amazing. It's a Muppet movie where the Muppet characters know that they're in the movie. It's like The Office, but the Muppets. Does that make sense? Like the Office, they know they're kind of being recorded. The Muppets, they play on the fact that they know that they're being, that they're on the television screen or the TV screen.
Yeah, it's like very meta. It's a movie about movie type thing.
So
yeah.
Well written, so good. It's very, it's hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing. It's great. It really brings back, like, I remember watching this on TV. I remember these. So good. The acting is absolutely amazing. The transition with real people and, like, the Muppets works so well. Super impressed. Super good. I also watched Wake Up Ron Burgundy. Have you seen this?
No.
Do you know about this?
No.
I know you're a Anchorman fan yourself.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I bought the Blu-ray about a year and a half ago. It was called, it's called the Blu-ray edition is, it's a two disc set and it's called Anchorman, the Rich Mahogany edition. And it has three versions of the movie. Okay. It has the theatrical, the extended, but then it has this third movie on disc two called Wake Up Ron Burgundy. And this is a full 90-minute movie of made 100% out of cut out footage of the movie.
Stop.
It's 90 minutes of it, and is all like, this is material that got cut. And what it's supposed to be is they make up a whole story out of cut out parts. And it's supposed to be like after those two are dating, it's supposed to be like they got along together, but now they're going for like national or whatever. So they're competing again, but it plays back from like the very beginning of the movie, but it takes on this whole other scene where basically like there's these, there's like Maya Rudolph's in it and like all these other actors that aren't actually in the movie at all. But like, it's all this whole other storyline about these bank robbers that like they're like focusing on the news and like they end up interacting with, right? And like they want to take down Ron Burgundy. It's so weird. Like it feels as though Anchorman was going in this complete opposite direction, and then like, or it was going to be super long, and they cut like half the movie, but they still filmed. It's 90 minutes long. It is absolutely crazy.
Oh my god!
And it is hilarious and awesome.
I want to see it.
You should buy it. It's on Blu-ray, and like the quality of the picture is amazing. So it's not like SD; it's all full HD, beautiful.
Yeah, it's not like just some bloopers and stuff like that.
It is like it makes you think like this movie could have been like completely different. Hmm. It really makes you think, and it's
kind of cool.
Good.
I wonder if all movies do stuff like that, where they just record and record and record and have all this shit that hits the cutting room floor.
Because, yeah, you definitely see out of movies, you see, like, oh, this is the gag reel, right?
But, yeah, and then they're, like, shitty looking. And... Mm-hmm.
But this is, like, this is legit. It's really, nice. It's really good. So...
Cool. I'm going to have to check it out.
I'll see if I can find it for you somewhere.
Definitely.
Yeah, the Blu-ray.
Because you know I'm all about Anchorman.
It is. I should have got you that for Christmas. Which reminds me, someone got a little package for Christmas under his Christmas tree.
I do. Well, it's not little. It's quite sizable. I have a large package, actually.
I wonder how big... I mean, I don't know.
And there's one under the tree.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh!
Hey-o! Get it? Talking about his...
Talking about packages... Anyway, what were we saying now?
Anyways, I'm glad you got it. I was scared that someone was going to steal it.
I am glad I have my package.
Well,
you should be getting a package very shortly. I just got a confirmation that it is on its way.
I got a package. You know, here's the funny thing. I got a package in the mail, like, and I don't know who it's from. And I can't open it. It's from Amazon, but I don't know.
Oh, no. I don't think it's mine.
No, it came, like, 2 days ago. It came Friday.
Yeah, because mine just shipped.
I don't know who it was. So, anyways, next week's... Are we even going to do a podcast next week? I put these on here. I don't know. It's Christmas.
That's Christmas Day.
I don't want to record on Christmas Day. And I have guests coming in.
Well... Okay, let's mention some movies. If we decide to see them, cool. Doesn't look like there's anything fantastic, but...
I wanted to see Midnight in Paris. I heard that was super good.
Oh, yeah?
I know you want to see Dolphin Tale.
Fuck yeah. Columbiana, I'd like to see.
Yeah, it looks good.
So should we say Midnight in Paris and Columbiana?
Yeah, I'll probably end up watching them anyways, you know.
All right, well, yeah, we'll send me those, and we'll... And if we don't record, then we'll record Monday, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Or whenever.
Sometime.
Or do a double.
We might do a double.
Yeah.
But then it's New
it's
Year's.
It's holidays, people. Forgive New us. Year's. Yeah, we might do a triple. I don't know.
Then I'm going to be in Las Vegas. I leave.
We might do a quadruple.
So you have Christmas.
Shit might get real.
You have Christmas. Then you have on the 1st is New Year's. Then on the 8th, I leave for Vegas for CES. And then I'm back on the 15th, though.
Well, I guess we could discuss, but maybe we'll do a random holiday vacation break. I don't know.
Are you going to be on the holiday extravaganza on the 27th?
I can be. What is the 27th? What is that?
Tuesday.
Hold on, I'm checking.
It's a Tuesday.
This is behind the scenes stuff, people. You're seeing it. You're getting it live.
Yeah, all two listeners.
Tuesday. Yeah, I should be able to do that Tuesday evening.
Yeah, because all of us get on together on the digital media zone. We do holiday spectacular, and we could talk about movies. We'll talk about these two movies then.
Sweet.
Yeah, we'll do it really short, though, you know, like 5 minutes each and then done.
Yeah.
It's a good time. It's a good time.
I want to do it.
All right, we'll do it. Do it.
Do it.
All right, so you can contact us in multiple ways, themoviepodcast.us, themoviepodcast.net, or as I like to call it, moviepodcast.net. you could just go there. We post the podcast. We have a few movie reviews, the holiday buyer's guides there. You got 1 week, 1 week left, people. So get your Amazon orders in. Give us money. And besides that, you can follow us on Twitter at The Movie Podcast, on Facebook at The Movie Podcast. I got the new timeline thing. I don't know about that.
Oh, don't be one of those people.
I mean, how often do I go to... Well, the funny thing is they spend a lot of time on people's pages.
And people don't ever go to
pages. I don't ever go to pages. I go to Facebook.com and I look at the feed and like that's it.
I suggest you go to my page, though.
I did. It's funny.
It's glorious.
I did at work, and I was like, ah, it's closed.
So there you go.
I put Lil Wayne on mine. Nice. I thought it represented me.
But I completely agree because I was thinking the same thing. It's very odd to me. I don't ever go to people's pages.
Never.
It's like I just don't. I don't know. You can answer. You can do everything right off the feed. So, but I enjoy the look of timeline. I do like it more.
No, yeah, it's a great look. But I never go to pages.
But I mean, people. You know, everybody hates anytime Facebook does anything. So, mm-hmm. And now the app is changed.
I'll have to get
on my phone at least. Yeah. I'm assuming it's all across all the phones, yeah. But they updated the app today. So
nice.
Yeah, so now you can see timeline on the phone.
Timeline. And all right, you got stuff to do. I got stuff to eat. Oh my
god.
Yeah, we've been I'm hungry. I didn't even really eat lunch. I've been snacking all day. 110 minutes in. I'm James Montemagno.
I'm Michael Rivette.
This has been the Movie Podcast 77. And we're ghosts. Checking out the back door. No way to pay for this.